Welcome everyone to Table Set Yourself number 12. This is going to be a short episode because I can't deliver every single day such an outstanding piece. And please, dear listeners, get used to it, right? Can't deliver as you maybe expect from me, but the expectations are high. And this is the great thing about the male position, how women look at us. And yeah, think of us as the greatest and whatever, but still this puts me under a lot of pressure and therefore I have to get it out of my system. Now this pressure and feel relieved and relaxed for tomorrow going back to work. And I don't even know what is so oppressing and frightening there. It might be even that this other lover, I have this guy from Porsche, I said, and there are some bugs still, always these bugs crawling around. And this is, I think, what, yeah, the bugs, they crawl over my mind and then make me think, like, yeah, I missed something. I know I can enjoy the production. Production is natural, is easy, right? It flows right out. Also, if you're coding, sometimes it's not that great, like when speaking here, but it's similar. But then again, comes this phase, you have to deliver this new product, new version of this program, and then you feel so guilty and not worthy of your lover. And yeah, this is making me a little nervous, but also this feeling of shame of not being able to at least work hard there so I can play this cats and mouse, because now it feels like we're back to cat and mouse. Although I said all this in my podcast, but my podcast at the end of the week, they tend to be desperate, because I feel like, yeah, then it comes the weekend, and not only because of not seeing this special girl that at work, you, dear Winter, as I called you once, but not only because of this, because also in my normal life before that winter time, I had this feeling always, on the weekend, my energy level is low, I don't want to do anything. It makes you feel humiliated, humble, like a do nothing, achieve nothing, a small man. That is the crucial point, that the only way one can feel strong and developing one's abilities is through working. And this is what Friedrich Engels, the colleague of Karl Marx, also wrote. This is also kind of an intellectual love and deep friendship between them that fostered the whole theory of Marxism and even brought it to light, made it possible, because Engels always subventioned Marx and gave him money because he was so poor. And Engels wrote this work, Der Anteil der Arbeit an der Menschwerdung des Affen. Well, this is just the title, but it kind of says that through work the apes began to develop into humans, or at least it's a great share that work takes in this developing process, that we developed from apes to humans. So work gives you strength, and therefore on the week you might be working a lot, and I was always tired earlier, but you feel better simply than on the weekend, and also in vacations it doesn't feel so great to be there left alone without this authoritarian structure, without this thing that tells you what to do, because alone you simply don't know what to do, or at least I, and it never feels this great, even if I know always I can do my podcast and that's a great thing, but still it isn't enough of this structure, Bolshevik working structures, like also the gulags. They were also part of this Bolshevik system, but also at least there you could work, and maybe it was not so pleasant, but these are whole different topics, historical topics and fights. But my view is clear and my firewall is clear. I won't let anyone in. This is a communist stronghold, at least here, this house, this is my place. And in this ring of fire, now I wanted to talk about maybe about this other erotic ring of fire. like it felt maybe it got a crack now because I was talking about this Chinese woman, and now it feels like, oh, maybe this is already too much. Could this now be three girls? But this is exactly the point I'm telling you, all of you, my lovers or potential lovers or whoever could feel attracted, or to also every other listener who could, well, listen to this and think about me or himself, herself, and personal life. Yeah, I tell you this, and I don't know it all, and I can't figure it out all, and I don't even have this clearance in my mind, and this is simply too much to expect from a man, right? You, especially women, look at us like this, and yeah, thinking, oh well, if he's a man, then he must know it, and yeah, and should know what he wants. This is exactly what all those girls on Bumble write there, or many write, and it gets on my nerves, right? If they write there, yeah, if you don't want, if you don't know what you want, then I know what I don't want. This is, well, this is at least a cute formulation that one girl there used. But many girls wrote this, yeah, wenn du nicht weißt, was du willst, if you don't know what you want, then please don't contact me. But I think in love, and maybe in every part of life, it's normal to not know what you want, or at least this capitalist liberal structure keeps us so weak that we feel really like weak animals that can't even have their own will, or they could have, but they're too ashamed and say, my will is not so perfect, my thoughts, what could I do? But you have to do something, right? Even if it's a failure, it's better to do it. And it's like in this one song from this German band, mach was du willst, aber mach's richtig. Do what you want, but do it right. And this is the crucial lesson maybe I learned, or early in my youth, in my early 20s, I think I was this way and so indecisive, and should have only known this, right? That you can do anything you want, but at least you gotta do it right, or at least have some determination, take some decision. And this was like this in my journeys when I traveled 5 years ago to South America. I was so indecisive and said, oh, I want to go to this country or to that country, and now I need to go there. And always this neurotic problems interfering, like also with my vicious habits and smoking, and feeling, oh yeah, well, let's say it simple and clear here. Lay all my vices before you, because this is a big vice, and I talked about this also in the last episode. But yeah, I wanted simply to travel to the US. Oh no, I hadn't planned it, but I traveled through South America, wanted to travel there. Brazil was quite nice, but then I thought, oh no, I must smoke, or yeah, I'm addicted, I'm used to it, and I want to smoke now, and I'm too shy to talk to someone here on the street and ask, even if I know in Chile, Santiago de Chile, there were so many people smoking, sitting in the park. But this is the point. Then I thought, yeah, maybe I need to go to America, to the US, because there it's legal in California. And yeah, this is what I did at the end. But it's too shameful to even express this here. And but still, it's good to utter these remorses, the Gewissensbisse, because it's always like this. The great other, the big other, is watching us, and this big other, it's so hurting. It's glance, and this is, oh, it's like cutting right through me, leaving me open, my chest, my stomach. And this big other, I don't know who it is, but it's all of society, it's all of us, it's all those podcasts, also podcast aroma, like this feeling like Stefan and Orjana, like they are also listening and watching, and making their judgment about my life and saying, yeah, this or what kind of a podcast is this? But I don't even want to know, right? Even if positive feedback wouldn't be so great, because that would also make me more sluggish or make me want to fail. But this is all too complicated now. But yeah, of course, I want this feedback from you, my lovers, or my special lover, Winter. As I mean, this is also contradictory now what I think and say these days, but still, Winter is this one thing, one person. And I talked about your necklace, your chain or necklace. This is a nice word I annotated here. And yeah, this was a crucial part, I think, in the last episode, the necklace, that yeah, I perceive every bit of you, but still, it doesn't matter what bits and how. It's yeah, I only want to identify you and know where you are, and also, yeah, you can't be always together for everyone. Well, this is not really realistic, and also wouldn't be so great to glue together forever. This is the great myth that we ought to read about in Plato's work, but not today, I think, but someday. Plato, because this got me so much wondering, thinking about the last years when I was reading Platon in my German podcast, and this myth and this original myth about love. And it seemed to me like Platon was also a coder. He encoded and encrypted in our minds this feeling of love, or at least the concept of love, of how it should be. Of course, there was already a sexual drive, a desire before Platon, but Platon, he turned it all around. He made it all platonical and made it so much stronger. But this also brings problems, like me, like I sense now these podcasts are also platonical in a way, and neurotic, but okay, I feel connected not only to you, Winter, but also these my ex-girlfriend and other women, and kind of nice to being able to explain to them that yeah, this is also complicated, and I don't have the answer, right? You shouldn't look at me like this, big man. Please don't think this of me, that I'm the big other. Of course, the big other, yeah, is always present there in society. And I said or wrote that it's good in love to feel maybe this relief that the other lover, he or she could be your big other, and this takes off the pressure of society. And I feel this strongly. But okay, for now, I gotta keep it short today, because I came home from Switzerland. It was such an exhausting trip. Exhausting because I don't know, couldn't sleep so much, had to get up so early. My parents said, yeah, 7 o'clock, they'd be here picking me up. And I don't know why they had wanted to leave so early, but this is the crucial point. Always the big other. You don't dare to contradict them. You want to adjust yourself to the views of the parents, of everyone, teachers. And this is what Friedrich Nietzsche wrote, that the young soul or the young mind forming itself is like a very hungry stomach that is taking every bit of moral or ethic of view on how and what is right to do in your life, how to live, is, well, taking every chunk in that it can get, no matter from where, from teachers, from professors, from parents, from friends. And I was, yeah, taking this in, and this I sense in myself so strongly, because I'm, yeah, so sluggish and thinking, yeah, I want to adjust myself and just react to the other, even if it's not even this outspoken spoken word, but just the look. And this I wanted to express, because then it makes me feel so angry at myself for not telling my parents that I don't want to leave so early. I mean, I'm so stressed those last days and weeks, and yeah, for various reasons, but simply, and all my weekends are full, but still, of course, I like to do this. It's a present, was a birthday present for my grandmother that we invited her to this trip to Switzerland, but still, I would like, if it's possible, to not start that early, at 7 in the morning. But okay, yeah, it was my father. He told me, yeah, this is gonna be the hour, and I didn't even, this is the point, it didn't even come to my mind that I could disagree or answer something back. It's always like this, or most of the time, that I think, no, it's I can't dissent, contradict, accept. Well, I don't want to go into this conflict, because, yeah, we're all so liberal, so weak today, nowadays. We shy away from the conflict. Nice word. It's a verb in this case, shy, not an adjective. Shy away, right? I think it's a verb, yeah. And this I do not want to do in my podcast. Therefore, I'm also a bit aggressive here, maybe, at least against these other podcasts I mentioned, Stefan and Wolfgang. Yeah, still, after all this time, feeling so, these feelings of, contempt, I said, oh no, but this, of course, is not true. Is maybe only part of the spectrum. All right, always you have this spectrum of feelings, and it's but I also want to be aggressive, because I feel this whole system today makes us in a way aggressive, but against ourselves, and we tend to think that we are not worth it, also in love, but in general life, we're not worthy, and the others, they know the ropes, they know how to do it. Ja, die anderen wissen Bescheid, Bescheid wissen. Very nice word. Somehow I like this word, Scheide. For some reason, also Bescheid, but Scheide, I thought about this earlier when we were traveling back. Well, what is it about this word? Is it the connection to the semantics, to this thing it is pointing at? Denominating? Or is it the vocal tones and the appearance, the auditive appearance of this word? But okay, now we express this big other. Yeah, I always want to adopt myself, adjust myself, and of course to you, Winter, I said this, that you shouldn't feel like adjusting, but it's impossible maybe in love if you also feel something for me. And yeah, I kind of suspect it's not so difficult, the situation, but yeah, you looked at me last week, and I don't want to say this look was every, there was anything encoded in it, but simply the fact that you looked up, and well, yeah, doesn't matter. But then it could be also friendship, right? I don't even know what I want or what I talk, but it has to be developed amongst us too, right? And this is complicating it, what I'm doing here, but still I felt under this pressure, and also felt you provoked it, you demanded it even, right? This was the crucial point in number 10. This makes me also feel so free to have said this. Yeah, you demanded this, not me even speaking here, right? You pulled this out of me, and yeah, and I'm on my track, and I'm always going that, always keeping on moving like this. Also the inertia in physics, there's this basic law that the body always will keep moving if not another force interacts with him, which sounds paradoxical. Here on Earth, we have always this force, this gravity and this Reibungskraft. The Reibung, also nice word, also has to do with erotics. Reiben, sich reiben is like stroking, caressing, friction. But we always have this friction against air here, therefore a body will eventually stop. A car won't roll on forever, but in space where there's no air, of course, the meteors, the bits and bytes there, the planets, well, if it's not a big planet, just a junk of a meteor, then it will always keep going in the same direction, if not, except that another force would interfere. For example, it would crash into a planet or into another meteor, and it would be distracted from its original line of flying, where it was bound to fly. But if no force interferes, it would always go on, keep going on like this, because there's no air, there's nothing stopping it, no friction there in space out there, of course. But here on Earth, it's different, and with all this gravity and friction, and therefore these physical laws maybe sometimes are not so, they're not that intuitive, right? And this, is crucial. That I don't even know what I'm talking here as well. I want to equate physics not to love, but don't know. No, I'm talking freely here. Need to get some relief, as I said, yeah. And you, especially Winter, shouldn't adjust, but it's not possible, because I feel this, that I also only want to adjust to you, and it's so crazy, although, yeah, maybe I know or suspect this, that there could be a mutual feeling, but then still it feels like this, you're this goddess I talked about, I want to pray to you, and I don't want to commit any failure, any step in the wrong direction that could upset you and could ruin this holy experience, this wholesome experience we might share, what might be possible to share someday. And this day, oh man, don't know if it's tomorrow, or hopefully it can develop slowly, or I don't know even what. Could be also like a crash of galaxies, I wrote in the show notes, I think. Is it love? And right, equating to physics, it's a crash of two galaxies, and they all have their whole systems of stars and spiral fogs, or or they call it stars and planets and all kinds of systems, chemical elements, and they're all crashing together and forming new lines. And this is our thing about love, and also like in a chess game, like in sports, yeah, the two teams, their adversaries there, and at times things get really excited and it gets so intense and you're so upset and angry maybe at each other. But Robert Faller wrote this, what sounded reasonable to me, that maybe in love it makes it stronger. If there's ambivalent feeling, first there's hatred, maybe even hatred, but then there's love, and this could be what creates this special love feeling that's not that monolithic as in friendship, but it's ambivalent, ambiguous in love. It has two sides. It's a double-knifed sword, or punyal, dolch, double-knifed, double-sided. And this, is, I don't even understand this, because also, of course, I crave for a love experience that could be so wholesome, could be so sane, and would make me feel, well, wholesome, yeah, it would make you whole. But, I don't know what I'm talking. This is all I want to express and all to, say, you have to start talking, but you never know what gets out once you start, and you have to really dare to do it and take this difficult road. This is what I experience every time I make my recordings here. So let me see if I have anything that I annotated here. But this big other thing, I wanted to mention this, because I'm living against my parents, also my roommates, what they expect from me. If they expect I be sober and don't smoke too much drugs, then that's the reason why I want to smoke drugs and want to say, I want to be a failure and be a failure to you as a son. And I want to see exactly that disappointment in your eyes. But this is very negative, because but I think it's also natural. This weekend simply put me under so much pressure, and it was all too much, all those social interactions, and now I feel like I want to be alone. Of course, also with you, Winter, this is really the crucial thing to express now, but with nobody else. I feel even those other women I mentioned, someday could be also my ex-girlfriend, but it's not in my mental space now. There's no room, and there's really no capacity, and and I think I don't know what I annotated here. We made a nice little train Ausflug, an excursion, a train ride through the mountains there in Switzerland, and the weather was not that great, but still this train, this was such a shiny train, like from 100 years ago, this style of Belle Epoque, the beautiful epoch. I don't know, it was all wooden, had this special interior designs, this lamps and tables out of wood, and such big windows, of course, to look outside, because it was a special panoramical train. And Winter, I know you were also there traveling once in Switzerland, maybe not exact area, but still around there, this lake there, Thun, and Thun is this big city, but I don't like it so much. It's such a big city, and I like more of the mountains, where I was with my brother some weeks ago. This was brother and friends, and this is some maybe at 1,200 meters located of height, and it has a beautiful, wonderful view to the mountains surrounding it, and the lake down there, Thunersee, and there left is the Blinzersee. There, where this other girl, this Chinese girl, lives, this spring, I could call her, because we met in spring, and I only met her on Bumble, and I wanted also to have this experience, as I said, but I don't have to justify myself, right? But it feels every time this in love that now you also could be disappointed what am I doing? But exactly, I don't know what I'm doing. And it was a great experience because I wanted to have be in this situation again, of feeling a little desperate and feeling this, what all my friends feel. And I feel this, those friends, they're also smokers. But this friend, especially, I talked about last time, right? That he said so many women don't accept in his vice and are so disappointed with him when he tells them, and such, so hurting maybe, that then they already wrote for some time on this dating app, and then only searches this topic and they reject him based on this. And I also find this, yeah, not so understandable, but okay, we're all formed by society, but simply I say, yeah. But okay, if women are waiting for us, then they should maybe understand this, that we, men, we're, from us, this active position, this manly behavior is demanded, especially in love, or maybe that's the most important place. Of course, you can say in the workplace, yeah, we're all equal, but still in love, love really matters, and still they expect us to take those steps. And yeah, but then you should also understand, this puts us under pressure, and sometimes we need to get some relief, we need to have our vices, and we want to be weak also, as I explained last time, we want to feel like, no, I can't be a man, I can't live up to this high standard, this is too much what everyone is expecting from me, the big other, yeah. So, but what I want to say, yeah, I wanted to feel also like he, because he's now been without a girlfriend for many years already, and always is a little depressed, not only because of this, but I don't know, it's something about him that I like him very much, but there's something also, like in me, of course, like this negative flow or ardor, and yeah, negative vein streak, and then, but also there was a third friend. We were four people there at this mountain cap, and there was this third friend, although he was looking then on Bumble for a girlfriend. And yeah, this with these two, I get this feeling that yeah, some men, for some men, it's not a problem to live up to this, especially my brother, because he's an extroverted person and he doesn't even notice then these problems, doesn't find it so problematic that women expect us to take the first step. And he says, no, it's not that big of a difference. Well, yeah, there they wait for you to write, but in general life, it's all changed now and it's all equal. But okay, I say, yeah, some men can live up to this, but most not. And it's so strange to me, why has this to be this way? Why? And yeah, also we men therefore feel this, we must encourage women and tell them, no, this can't go on forever like this, and you should be also more on the initiative, like on a date in Bumble when you finally, yeah, in Bumble, yeah, I experienced these women always waiting for me and not asking much, just answering my questions and saying, yeah, this and that. And yeah, I find this so strange. Why do you have to be so passive? Somehow it's got to be this way that you think we, the men, expect this from you. We want to be a woman that clean and that immaculate. And then this is a crucial point, of course, also of last time's discourse, that for a man it always feels in this competition, he's in the competition against other men, of course, and feels, no, it's too traumatic to think that a woman could have sexual relations, but not only that, also social relations with other men, and this would totally put in danger my own masculinity. I don't want to think about it. And I think, yeah, this is part of an explanation of this group of thoughts I mentioned that have to do with this easy girl and with this hard conquerors, because easy girl, the other part of the puzzle then is the conqueror that has to conquer really and give his best, and like me here. But yeah, this is the point here, it's so easy to speak up, and therefore I feel like I have to also drag it to length and take it slow and not talk to you so soon, but yeah, of course, the pressure is high and I need to talk to you soon, but still want to sink in into this depressed feeling also. But yeah, okay. What I meant earlier, yeah, at the end of the week, I'm more depressed then, and therefore I make this podcast like number 11 and number 6, where I'm really craving and yearning for you. And then at the beginning of the week, like now, it's Monday, and I came back, and there I feel more, well, yeah, let's give we can give it time, and so nice to even see you and play cat and mouse with you. And yeah, just looking there, maybe looking into your eyes. Yeah, it's so nice. I have to confess it here, and it's really contradicting what I'm talking, but this is my whole point for today, that these women then on Bumble should also say, yeah, let's have a date, or should simply ask some questions about my personal life, because at this, well, now some experience in the past month, but there was only this one date with this Chinese girl, and then another one with a girl from Kenya. But yeah, they all seem to wait and feel comfortable with the initiative on the male side. And yeah, it's strange to perceive this in every single woman I meet there, and almost everything I say. And also my friends then, those stoner friends that also accompanied me in this accompanied me to this excursion to the mountain cap. Also, they said this, yeah, every time if I ask her what could we do or what do you want to do on the date, yeah, she says, I don't know. And he says, what is this then? If it seems like you're not interested. I mean, of course, it's kind of nice to have this role interaction, that the man can make a proposal and say, yeah, we could go there and there, this restaurant, or do this in this park. But still, it can't be like this, that there's the whole burden on him, and the girl, yeah, should also contribute, or also go take the initiative, is my point. And yeah, it's and with you, Winter, one time we went out there, I think we only went out for two walks then in the lunch break, and this second time then was also so beautiful and made me so, yeah, but made me so sure that, yeah, but yeah, just have to explain this, that then came up the question, yeah, where should we go? Should we go to the supermarket that you always went, or to this bakery? And yeah, we both didn't know, and this is exactly the point. You don't want to take decisions. You say, oh yeah, I want to adjust myself to the big other, the expectations, but what does the other want? And I saw on your face you didn't know either, or you didn't want to take a decision, right? And we're craving for me to tell you. And yeah, maybe I should have said, I know I should have, because then I thought, yeah, let's go to the supermarket, because I never went there, and you always said, yeah, you were going there. But yeah, this was not even the biggest blunder on this day I walked, because the real blunder was then when I didn't want to, or was too shy, when we were at the bakery and you said, yeah, let's go inside and take a seat there. But I said, no, now we've, of course, we've ordered, now we have, we were ordering there at the bar, and then you just take away your bakery goods and can, yeah, take them away. But this other part of the cafe is like for people who can directly sit there and order. But of course, it was so nice of you to propose that after we bought those pretzels or whatever, that we could go there. But I simply thought, no, this is a transgression, we can't enter there, it's like, no, this is forbidden. Or yeah, I shouldn't have thought this and be more genuine and said, yeah, let's get a, we only have to ask for some plate and then we can sit there, I don't think it's a problem. But yeah, there was this tension, and I thought so many times of this situation because, but yeah, it's also natural to be when you have all this tension inside and that you can't feel so inhibited. But okay, now I think I've talked already a great, did a great talk here, and this has to now end, come to a conclusion soon. Come to a conclusion, right? And now, yeah, what more can I say? Maybe read something out. Yeah, the crucial question here, is it necessary to be loved back, or could it also be real love if you're loving in this one directional way? Because this I read from Madan Cohen, this communist, and in his work about hatred on the internet and this hate, there's a lot of talk of hate speech today, but he's all in favor of hate speech because Marxism is all about hating the society and saying, oh yeah, my personal problems, well, the government is to blame, or the system, of course the government is only a symptom of the underlying economic base, the system of production and of possession of the means of production, of the fabrics and so on, and of the skills, the workers, the ways in which the workers are trained, and all this is encrypted, encoded in the factories, the enterprises, and all this belongs to those capitalists, to those bourgeois that have their monopolistic power, and there's nothing valuable they create for society, but they only express like in an orange, like, yeah, when you make orange juice, they want to press it all out, every single dollar they can get from this company they mainly inherited. Like, yeah, maybe with Mercedes-Benz, someone made an invention that was an innovation, a big innovation. Yeah, you have to attribute that to Gottlieb Daimler or this other guy, Benz, Carl Benz, and say, yeah, this is a great, great invention and great work that you did, and you should be rewarded also. But nowadays, then it goes into the hands of the legal heritages, inheritance, and yeah, this is so unproductive. They only want to press, like this orange juice, and there's no innovation. Squeeze, put pressure. Yeah, squeeze everything out, and it's the politicians are pampering them, fostering their interests, because of course it's all part of the system. It's a connected system, and no single person is to blame for all this going on. But we have to make it better. As socialists, we have to say, yeah, here in our own bubble, we have to establish our theory, and we have to not care a bit about what the great other, what the rest of the society could think of us. We have to be also a bit blunt and a bit violent in this way of saying, yeah, we want revolution, and we also want to see blood on the streets if it can't be avoided. But then it would be a better thing to have this revolutionary war than to have things going on like this, and like, 20 million people dying of food shortage each year. This is also like blood in the streets. This is also so real violence going on in the world, and we can't tackle all those problems without changing the social and economic base of society, establishing socialist production methods. So yeah, there has to be a fight, and there will be hardships and maybe also death, but this all can't be foreseen, and either way it's right to make up these plans. And I know for the rest of the society this maybe sounds horrendous, and but I have thought a great deal about everything, and I didn't read everything from Marx, but I have to study also in greater detail. But I'm already now this sure and this committed that I say, yeah, it doesn't care. We have, therefore I also have to go on speaking, because every day the societal pressure, it's sickening you, it's einsicken, not sickening, it's pouring into you, right? It's pouring into you, and if you don't fight back, someday you will become a total liberal knucklehead like those Stefan and Wolfgang. And they're totally lost, totally without resistance. I don't even want to talk about them, because then it also pours into me again that liberal poisoning our thoughts. Yeah. And yeah, this is the thing with the big other, that this instance might seem like it's imaginary, what is this even, but it will always take control again if you don't fight back. It's so powerful, it will take control of your actions. And maybe this sounds paranoid here, I'm trying to liberate myself from this big other controlling my actions, but I think there's a valid point in it. And yeah, I don't deny I'm a little neurotic, and also talking about psychoanalysis, I just like to read and think about it, but it doesn't mean that I'm a sane person or that I'm like analyzed and I'm all beyond those psychic problems. No, I'm fully into them, inside those problems also, but still, it's like surfing on a wave. It's like, yeah, I'm still kind of balanced, or right now, of course, not so balanced because of this love entangling, but in general, still somehow balanced, and still all in spite of those addictions and kind of weird habits of compulsive needs of podcasting and letting the words pour out. But exactly, this is needed to fight back. Also the vices, maybe, but what am I talking here? I need to go to the end. But no, I was talking about this communist writer and his book, and just one small point from it. It doesn't even have to do with communism or with hate. It's a totally random point, but I read it there that man braucht schon jemanden, der einen zurückliebt in der Liebe, ne? Sonst wird es ein bisschen unangenehm. Or something like this, what he wrote, that in love it's needed that someone loves you back. And this he says then about hatred on the internet. Of course, you have to hate society, hate those capitalists, and say, fuck off, we're gonna make a plan to take you down, you capitalist thugs. And yeah, something like this also could be already a class struggle on the internet, on Twitter, which I like so much. Yeah, but in hatred, it is not necessary that someone hates you back. You can hate them like a troll on Twitter, hate them, and yeah, doesn't matter. You can say, yeah, I gave him now my portion of hate, and it's okay with that. I don't need to know anything else. But then he says, in love, it's different, because in love, yeah, it's not so great if you love without being loved back. And this is the thing I kept wondering, because always, of course, I was drifting off into this imaginative love feelings, didn't have a lot of real experience, but then always imagining and thinking, yeah, real love could also be this. I mean, yeah, I feel so attracted, committed to that girl, like this girl at work talked about at the end of last episode. This girl was working with me for 1 or 2 years, then she quit 1.5 years ago, and yeah, it was so sad, but also, yeah, she always also felt this pressure. She was such a shy person, way more than I, and yeah, it wasn't maybe the right job for her, but still, I, yeah, see her as a friend today, of course not as, but I don't even know what I see, what I do, and yeah, this is the whole point. But today, of course, I would like to meet her again as a friend and say, but yeah, through all those kinds of experience, I get this impression, yeah, this is also real love, what I'm living in this imaginary. It's even more comfortable this way, right? You don't have to act or be confronted with that person really in a private setting so much. Of course, we always went out, made walks, and talked a little. Or mainly I talk, but she doesn't matter. Also liked her so much for her shyness and for seeing in her that it could be something great to be even more shyer than I. And I had always thought about myself, like, why am I this way? But then I saw in her that it's also something adorable. But okay, my point is clearly that experience changes your views. Back then, I didn't have a lot of Well, real love experience where someone would love you back. But now I have this experience with my ex-girlfriend now from Peru, 1.5 year at least, or, well, we were together over a year with ups and downs and always, yeah, there's problems, but still, this is real love then, and this changes maybe your view and makes you think, and it totally makes me think that, yeah, this early love imaginations, they were not real love. But it was still maybe good back then to think this, and it was a training, a preparation. And this is the key thing about love, or at least about my discourse, those last episodes, that it all needs entangling, training, and it's so stupid, therefore this easy girl and this, well, conqueror talk that the males feel like they're too insecure, and therefore have this look on a woman. She has to be clean, like, I don't want to think about her past, that she could have a past and could have loved someone else. This would be too traumatic. But this is exactly the point I need to express here, that I see this as a key problem in today's relationships, and maybe is also part of a possible explanation for this passive behavior I was reproaching there, because I feel for me it's not a problem now with my podcast. I have a lot of confidence, as I say, but those friends, what is going to be with them? I mean, yeah, it's all socialist net, and I can't feel so great if I see this. They're trying and trying to find love there on these dating apps, but it's not good. It's not so good. Also, therefore comes my idea of taking this over by a socialist government. Should of course deprivatize those dating apps and or develop new ones in on a socialist base and make this real kind of meetings where people can meet, or it could be a great event, like there could be all kinds of right games being played, chess games or cat and mouse games and whatever, entanglings, and one could avoid such a lot of creative ideas. But this is crucial, that it has to be socialist, can't just involve those two people, because one feels always that weak, that you don't know what to do, you wait for the big other, and it's problematic then if he also doesn't know. And therefore it's better to organize this on a level of several people, or even the state interfering there and saying, yeah, this is now this lecture, maybe. First we hear a lecture from a love professor, and he says talks about this and that. Also, there are practical things that are just good to know, like about biology, right? Maybe you don't want to go back to thinking again about it, but still menstruation and all this also very interesting for the men to know, and also for women, because nowadays the discourse in the superstructure is so sexualized, but not in the right way. There's not even that great of an education, and it's all creating this feeling inside us that it's all dirty, and yeah, we are too dirty, and it's all this kind of ironic love talk, right? It's this, yeah, sexiness, and oh, it's such a great thing. It's exaggerated love and sex talk, and like, no, therefore comes my talk, and my tone here is quite different, is really, well, a little lowered, and saying, well, sex is also something ambivalent, something you can feel really frightened. But of course I'm not so frightened because of this now with you, Winter. It's not this the problem that I think all about is not this erotic attraction so high, but just I'm talking to you. This is also what is what is pressuring my mind, or troubling my mind. Yeah, this thought, what could happen, and that, yeah, on one hand I want it so much, but on the other hand there's always this insecurity, or I don't even know why, but because it's so easy, right, every time. But I think I've said it all now, that the real experience, the learning, also changes your concept of love, and it's good, and now I have a different outlook on it, but still it isn't the final outlook. Maybe, of course, you can't get to that it's the process, like Hegel says, and here it really gets all kinds of dizzy. And Malcolm Kuhn, he's a big fan of Hegel, and therefore I should talk clearly and not just explain something randomly here about Hegel. But Hegel is really so crucial, and I think especially to love, especially love, we can only understand through Hegel. But I don't understand Hegel and love neither, and so. Yeah, I think this is a great closure. This is a great close to this podcast to say this, that we need to talk about this Hegel and the synthesis, the dialectics, the fight of the opposites, but not only an unproductive fight, but a productive fight that produces a new outcome, a new result. And this result is the whole, the absolute is in essence a result. It's the whole, it's the end of a process, but this doesn't mean that the beginning of the process is somehow less important. The blossoming, the seed, is also important. And yeah, sometime it can all get to a perfect conclusion, but also there never ends. It's an ongoing process. And but it's not, it changes also the measuring units, right? You go on in time, and then you set yourself a goal, wanted to achieve this or that, maybe a love relationship, but also those steps you take, they put you in a different place, and you see different things from that place, and it changes everything, how you measure. And yeah, but I can go on further now. I'm really, really exhausted, tired, I gotta say. Yeah. This Hegel stuff has to be, I have to come up with a better explanation here, because I feel my love theory relies on it. But as I said, I don't understand love in total or perfectly, and even maybe can't, or it's too early, right? I'm in the process. This is the Hegelian point. I'm maybe already now a full person, or I'm not at the end, at the completion of my process, but still being in the process and changing, developing is already a really vital part of it all. And yeah, there's nothing else really. And with that, I thank you for your encouraging listening efforts, endeavors, and I feel under pressure, but also good pressure at this. We should play a song, right? Because now I feel I'm all out of power, but at least I can give you that. From K Tempest, this song, let's see, Hold Your Own is good. This is also more of a lyrical poetry, rap, like the other one, but more slower and more relaxed. Hold Your Own or People's Faces, but I think this People's Faces fits the best, because you have to look other people into the eyes, and not only your lover, but all those social interactions are important. And it doesn't matter if there's an erotic sizzling in it, or if it's with a person for any reason you don't feel this sizzling, just because it's not attractive enough, or it's not of this gender you could desire. But it doesn't matter. I say that the socialist feeling and looking each other in the eyes, very, very important, and it's the base, and also deeply connected to love. There can be no love without anyone seeing us, right? It's not just the two of them, although at times it might feel like a perfect unit of the twos, of the two lovers, but still, you have to see other people's faces, and this is the point. And with that, I thank you and say bye-bye, goodbye.
It's coming to pass. My country's coming apart. The whole thing's becoming such a bumbling farce. Was that a pivotal historical moment we just went stumbling past? Well, here we are, dancing in the rumbling dark. So come a little closer, give me something to grasp. Give me your beautiful, crumbling heart. Another disaster, catharsis. Another half-discarded mirage. Another mask slips. I face off with the physical. My head's ringing from the love of the stars. There is too much pretense here, and too much depends on the fragile wages and extortionate rents here. We're working every dread day that is given us, feeling like the person people meet really isn't us. Like we're gonna buckle underneath the trouble. Like any minute now the struggle's gonna finish us. And then we smile at all our friends. It's hard. We got our heads down and our hackles up, our backs against the wall. I can feel you aching. None of this was written in stone. There is nothing we're forbidden to know. And I can feel things changing. Even when I'm weak and I'm breaking, I stand weeping at the train station, 'cause I can see your faces. There is so much peace to be found in people's faces. I saw it roaring. I felt it clawing at my clothes like a grieving friend. It said there are no new beginnings until everybody sees that the old ways need to end. But it's hard to accept that we're all one and the same flesh, given the rampant divisions between oppressor and oppressed. But we are, though. More empathy, less greed, more respect. All I've got to say has already been said. I mean, you heard it from yourself when you were lying in your bed and couldn't sleep, thinking, couldn't we be doing this differently? I'm listening to every little whisper in the distance, singing hymns, and I can feel things changing. But it's so hard. We got our heads down and our hackles up, our backs against the wall. I can feel your heart racing. None of this was written in stone. The current's fast, but the river moves slow. And I can feel things changing. Even when I'm weak and I'm breaking, I stand weeping at the train station, 'cause I can see your faces. There is so much peace to be found in people's faces. It's not enough to imagine we'll be happy when we've got enough stuff. All this stuff is blocking us. I'm neat with no chaser. I'm all spirit, but I'm sinking, because these days are not days but strange symptoms. And this age is our age, but our age is rage sinking to beige. And yes, our children are brave, but their mission is vague. Now, I don't have the answers, but there are still things to say. I stare out at my city on another difficult day, and I scream inwardly, when will this change? I'm beginning to fade, but my sanity's saved, 'cause I can see your faces. My sanity's saved, 'cause I can see your faces. It's hard. We got our heads down and our hackles up, our backs against the wall. I can feel your heart racing. None of this was written in stone. The current's fast, but the river moves slow. And I can feel things changing. Even when I'm weak and I'm breaking, I stand weeping at the train station, 'cause I can see your faces. I love people's faces.